Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our service on this Transfiguration Sunday, the last Sunday of February, and a day where, given this weather and the coldness, I woke up and I thought this would be a good day for a bowl of soup and a fireplace and just sitting doing nothing. And I've been bombarded since I've been here with people telling me how tired they are today, and if they fall asleep, don't take it personally. Well, I'll say the same to you. If I fall asleep, don't take it personally. But we are grateful to be here in the house of the Lord. It is a wonderful day. A couple of announcements, and then we've got some prayer requests we'd like to share. Will you look, just for housekeeping, at the song sheet? You will see that Mona found the a very beautiful responsive reading that we will do right before Shine, Jesus, Shine. I will read the part of the worship leader. Mona will read the part of the worship participant. And if you would simply respond with worshipers there in the bold, we would appreciate it. And speaking of that, this is the last time you will be looking at, on a regular basis, at song sheets. We will be going back to using our hymnals next Sunday. I think that that'll not only just be more efficient, it'll keep Mona from having to print these sheets off, but far more importantly, it's far better to use our own hymnal. What's going to be encumbered upon you, but I guarantee, I know you'll be able to handle it, is when you come in, when you pick up your bulletin, also there'll be a rack there, take a hymnal, and when you're leaving, please put the hymnal back on the rack, and then we'll be using our own hymnals. Any questions on that? Okay, and then you'll also see that we have the schedule on the announcements of the activities. For Lent. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We'll be having our Ash Wednesday service here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. So therefore, we will not be having women's or men's groups separately. We'll all be coming together as one church and worshiping during our Ash Wednesday service. So please join us for that. And then there's another opportunity we have, missions-oriented. You'll see it printed there, and I think Webb wanted to say a few words about opportunity that we have to match some money.
Morning, everybody. Two announcements I have. The first one is, Carrie and I just want to say thank you for your love and support. We had a crazy month. A month ago yesterday, we put Freedom down. One of the hardest things we've ever had to do. And 2 days later, we flew to Orlando and we got on a ship for 8 days. So we kind of out of sight, out of mind. We came back. The house was empty a few days later. Carrie had COVID. She was sick for a week. Somewhere in between there, we had a birthday and an anniversary. And I surprised her with a puppy. Since then, we've had no sleep. And Grace thinks everything in the house is her new chew toy. But the phone calls, the text messages, some people sent cards, flowers, and we felt the love and the prayers, and we just want to say thank you. Honored and blessed to be part of this church. Second announcement is missions. The board met this past week, and we've talked about doing missions for foreign ministry. We're going to do that, looking into a few things. We really wanted to concentrate on missions for our own backyard. So, you know, Carolyn puts a lot of time into Parkview Mission. She was sharing with us, if you can imagine this for a second, some people walking as far as from Madison Heights to Parkview to get meals, and trying to get bus passes for those people, only being able to carry one or two meals back to where you're at because you have to walk instead of getting a ride. So through Parkview Missions, a bus pass is $4. Through us, it's $2. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to raise money to get as many bus passes as we can so that people can carry as much food as they can, clothes, blankets, just whatever they're given. So the board has decided that there's envelopes back there. You can give money today, or deadline is next Sunday. But we're willing to match up to $500 So if we raise $1,000, that's 500 bus passes. More would be fantastic, but we had this board meeting this past week, and I left almost in tears because I learned some things I didn't know. There's 4 homeless camps in Lynchburg alone, and I didn't know that. And I went home that night, that afternoon, and just, you know, simple things like having a bed to sleep in, a roof over your head. I can't imagine someone having to walk 10 miles and carry 1 or 2 meals and go back to their cardboard home. So I know things are tight. You know, Russia's invaded Ukraine. People want to sit on their money. But every little bit helps. Even $10 donation gets 5 bus passes. So, again, we'll talk in the future about the foreign missions and what we want to do. But for now, we want to concentrate in our own backyard. So anything that you can give, see me or Carolyn or Tom, put it in one of the envelopes in the back, or write a check and put it in here and just write Parkview Mission. Does the check get made out to Parkview or the well?
The well.
Okay, make it out to the well. But that's all I have. And thank you for your love and support. I'm sorry I'm shaking. I still get nervous in front of you.
Thank you, Webb, for your leadership. Thank you, church, for your heart. And I'll be doing a robocall to remind you before next Sunday if you aren't prepared today. But just simply above and beyond your normal tithes and offerings, pray about what God would have you do. Make the check out to the well. Put down in the memo Parkview bus passes or whatnot. And we'll today and the deadline of next Sunday, we'll collect that. Carolyn?
On Tuesday, the lakes will be hanging closed.
The
Parkview Collection. So if anybody wants to help hang up
closed.
What time? This Tuesday?
Yes.
No, is that the second Tuesday? Okay, I'm confused.
So it's not this Tuesday.
The second Tuesday.
The second Tuesday of every month at what time?
It'll be there every time. Between 10 and 3 will be there.
Okay.
You
come for an hour, you come the whole time, whatever you want to do. So this Tuesday, don't do anything but celebrate Brandon's birthday. And then the rest of the next week, you okay. All right. Any other announcements? I have sort of a lost and found. Someone left this in the back last Sunday. We have no idea. It's a bunch. It's yours, Agnes?
It was to go to Parkview.
Okay, it'll go this week.
Okay, it'll go this week. Thank you, Agnes. Okay, let's shift to prayer requests. Of course, and Webb mentioned it, we really want to keep those in around Ukraine in our prayers. It's a tight, tense situation. We want to keep them in prayer in particular, and you'll see it on your prayer list. Andy Banky, who was going over with our country as a Fulbright scholar to teach in the hospital there. He's done it before in Moldova. They've closed the airport officially for a week. So at best, he would be going this coming Friday, but it may not be at all. And he had some friends there that are in the area that he wanted, and I put their first names there. So keep the whole situation in prayer. Any other, Dave, prayer requests?
I just want to update the church about G.L. Smith, our family member, cousin in Colorado who's had that major stomach surgery. He's lost 75 pounds. His attitude on life has changed. He's like a new man again. He's quite an entertaining writer, and for the first time in about 2.5 years, he actually wrote a little paragraph and sent it out to his friends, a very humorous little paragraph. So we're thankful for the prayers of the church, and we continue to ask for them because it's a major journey that he is on to lose weight and change the way he lives. But so far, God has been great in this progress.
Great. Let's keep GL in our prayers. Also, yes, Judy.
I'd like to thank everybody for prayers and my prayers. And he is coming home today.
Praise God. So Hunter is coming home today. So we praise God for that. And She told me, and I think I can share this, that when he was coming out and being able to have the ventilator out, he wasn't that hungry, but his first concern was for his telephone, which I think is typical for a 20-year-old. So let's keep Hunter in our prayers. And I saw, was it Carrie? Was your hand up? Yes.
I have a friend, Stephen and Margaret, and then Holly Rogers. She's Holly Knight, but her father is got hospice at home with him. And on Tuesday, Stephen and Holly's mom, Linda, had to go into the hospital. So he is and she is in the hospital right now. And they've been married for 58 years, so he can lift the whole family up in prayer during the six time.
What is the last name of the Linda, the hospital, the gentleman?
Wade Rogers and Linda Rogers. And he also, Stephen and Holly also have a sister named Kim, but I think there's another one, so I'm not coming on that term.
All right, let's keep Wade and Linda and family in prayer. Thank you. Anyone else for prayer? Yes, ma'am.
I get the inestimable privilege of having a root canal on Ash Wednesday.
Well, we are called to do acts that will help us identify in pain, so I guess that's somewhat appropriate. But let's keep Lisa in prayer. She has root canal on Wednesday. Any others? Yes, sir.
Some of y'all from the men's group and women's group know this, but the Brown family. Mr. Brown lost his son and his daughter in the last 2 months, and the brother Peter obviously lost his brother and sister in the last 2 months, and they're hurt pretty badly, so if we could keep them in prayer.
Good friends, childhood friends of Webb, the Brown family have experienced two losses recently, so let's keep. And are you going to be able to travel, you think?
Yes, sir. Flying down March 17th.
Okay.
And flying back on Sunday, March 20th.
Good. I saw another hand. Come on.
Just Stark.
Oh, Stark Camden.
Yeah.
Let's keep Stark Camden in our prayers as his situation has gotten a little more stressful. Anyone else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we come to you asking for your blessings. We, as our brother Webb confessed, with his own thinking, when we hear of the situation of others, we are reminded of the blessings that just surround us, that we too often take for granted, for safety and security, for pleasures, for comforts, for good health, plenty of food, air that's conditioned, and vehicles to travel. In so many ways, we are blessed beyond measure. But our heart and your spirit makes our heart mindful of the needs and wants of others. We think of those, especially in areas where there has been aggression. We would pray for a ceasefire in the Ukraine. We would pray that you would put a stop to the aggression. I pray that you would be with the people there that whose resolve is to defend their country, to stand for truth. And we pray that the belt of truth will be around their waist. The breastplate of righteousness will be covering them. And we pray for the people there, that they will be protected. We also pray, as we come closer to home, for those who are going through different struggles that may, on the world stage, not seem as tense, but to the individual is equally stressful. We pray that you would be with Stephen and Holly, with this dual situation of both their mom, Linda, and their father, Wade. We just pray that you'll draw close and give comfort when life leads to different seasons. in the fall and winter of life, there are so many challenges. And we pray that you would be with their family. We pray that for Stark. We just pray that you would bless both Stark and Janet and their children and grandchildren. We pray that you would be with the Browns in their recent loss, and just may they find comfort in one another and old friends, and above all things, may they find comfort in Christ. May Webb be protected as he travels, and may he be an angel of your love and light as he goes there. We pray that you would be with Lisa as she is having root canal surgery on Wednesday. Prepare her even now that the procedure would be successful and as pain-free as possible. We thank you for good movements. We thank you and give you all the praise for rescuing and bringing back to health Hunter. And we pray that his discharge and transition home will go well today, and that you'll continue to strengthen him. We thank you for physically how things have gone well for GL, and how that's led to his attitude and spirit being encouraged. And we just pray that he'll continue to build on that, and you'll continue to bring him to that place of health and joy that you intend and desire for us all. We thank you for an opportunity that we have in the freedom of this country to come together and to worship. On this day that we recognize and remember the full glory, that Shekinah glory of Jesus Christ that knows no bounds, that we would be encouraged, that we would keep our eyes focused, not on the changing powers that surround us, not on the storms that can blow, both externally and sometimes in our own mind and hearts. But may we keep our mind on the one who simply can say, "Peace, be still." We love you. We love this body that you have created and placed us in. And we gather to worship your holy name. And we offer these prayers in that name. Amen. Look with me to the front of the bulletin. As always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore us to the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the living Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to bring, appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 99. Before we stand together and sing, we praise you, O God, our Redeemer. The Lord is King. Let the people tremble. He is enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth shake.
The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all peoples.
Let them confess his name, which is great and awesome. He is the Holy One.
O mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity.
You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God, and fall down before his footstool, for he is the Holy One.
Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among those who call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them.
He spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the decree that he gave them.
O Lord our God, you answered them indeed. You were a God who forgave them, yet punished them for their evil deeds.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God, and worship him upon his holy hill. For the Lord our God is the Holy One.
And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt. to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Here ends the reading.
And as we prepare our hearts to sing the call to prayer, join along in the response of reading. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," he has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ.
He is the radiance of his glory, the exact expression of his nature, and he sustains all things by his powerful word.
In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
The Lord will shine over you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your radiance.
Thank you.
O God, at the glorious transfiguration of your only Son, you confirmed the mystery of our faith by the witness of the disciples and by your own voice from the cloud. Mercifully complete our adoption as your children and give us with our King an inheritance of his glory. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, always making intercession for us, that one mediator transferring us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And as children of light, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our second reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. The word of the Lord.
Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. and as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. There are ministers, preachers, good preachers, who believe that if the Lord leads them in the week to pen out a sermon that's 30, 35 minutes long, that they have to preach that 30 to 35 minute message. I bet you're glad at quarter till I'm not one of those preachers. So pray that the Holy Spirit will guide and lead, for I understand that there are two peaks in the mountain of our worship. The word that's preached, but I'm eager as you are to get to that even higher peak where we meet the Lord at the table in his presence. Let's pray together. Our precious and loving God, we thank you for your goodness of your word, of Jesus Christ, of a light that shines with divine unity and with a divine unilateralism. We are grateful that your shining is not dependent upon our contribution. We're grateful that you are the Lord of heaven and earth. We are grateful that we need not make you the Lord, defend you as Lord, prop you up, or choose you as Lord. For you, before all eternity, are the only triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now may you shine in our midst, and in this time, may your Spirit guide my words to point to yours. Shine, Jesus, shine. In his name, amen. Speaking of communion, Eucharist, there's an individual that you probably wouldn't guess who some say hold the honor, if you call it that, of being the officiant or participant at one of the largest gatherings of communion in the modern world. I bet none of you could gather who it is. Your mind might go to a pope or a religious figure or some other religious person. It actually goes to a gentleman, I don't know if it's his first name or last name or nickname, but it actually goes to a gentleman named Bono, the singer of a group called U2. And Bono led this several years ago along with the Anglican Church. I'm more interested in the message today of a song that he wrote and sang back in 1987. I find it quite sad. Maybe by his finding and participating in communion, maybe he no longer needs to sing this song. But the words of the song from 87 read as follows. I have climbed highest mountains. I have run through the fields. I have run. I have crawled. I have scaled these city walls. These city walls. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I pray he has. I pray he has. But I think in the honesty of that hymn or song from 1987, he describes accurately the anxious cry of many people's hearts. There's a hunger, and often they know not of that which they hunger. There's a longing. There's something missing with everything acquired. I think the acts of aggression speak to that. Sherry and I were talking yesterday about what drove this most recent invasion of one country of another. And I guess the truth of the matter, if we're honest, is what drove that is that which we all deal with in our own heart, and that is that it's sometimes never enough. We want more, for we're looking for that which will satisfy. Another Russian got bad press. You may remember the first human that went into space. Do you remember him? He was not American. He was a cosmonaut, Yuri Gagarin. He went in 1961. And atheists around the world got a lot of press out of something he said, but they misinterpreted him. You always need to be careful dealing with the press. And you may have heard him that they saying in proof of their own atheism that Gagarin went into space and he said, I've traveled into outer space, but I didn't see God there. And they took from there that, see, there's no empirical evidence for God. The truth of the matter is, Yuri Gagarin was a very devout Christian, a part of the Russian Orthodox Church. And what he was confessing is that no matter where we go, we don't find God out there. We find God as his faith had historically told him, and he believed where God told us he would be found, in Christ Jesus, in word and sacrament. The author of Hebrews tells us, and I guess my sermon could just be two words, and I'm tempted to make it so. I've never done this. I'm scared to do it. But if you look with me in verse 1 of Hebrews 3, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. The Greek word there, katanoia, means to focus entirely upon. Not just glance at Jesus, but to stare, to focus on, to fix one's mind on, to have the intention that I am going to comprehend and understand this. It's not used often. It's only used a handful of other times. Let me give you a couple other times it's used. It's the exact same word is used by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount when he says that there are those that go around and they have this huge log in their own eye, and they tend to fixate on the splinter in someone else's eye. You know those people, don't you? People that find fault like there's a reward for it. People that can simply glance over their own wrongdoings, but when it comes to someone else's faults, when it comes to someone else's wrongdoings, they hone in with a great deal of attention, don't they? They glance over their own, but when it comes to other people's wrongdoings, they really focus on it. Same word. It's also used by Jesus in trying to keep us Christians from being anxious in Luke 12, where he says, consider the ravens. They don't toil and spin. Consider the flowers of the field. They don't muster up their existence. Focus on them. Consider them. Hebrews will tell us about seven chapters later in Hebrews 10, he'll use the word once again when we're told to how to focus on other people, to help them. And I guess in a way you could say this word is sort of like, and the phrase I use is, get a PhD in this topic. Now, I don't mean technically go and enroll. I mean make it something that you're going to focus on. Make it an obsession, is what this author is saying. Consider Jesus. Don't glance at Jesus. Obsess over Jesus. Him alone. You say, well, what gives him that right? And that's where we jump to the other story. Why should we consider Jesus? There are lots of options. There are many people around this world who seem to go on in life ignoring this admonition to consider Jesus. Why Jesus? Well, before we go to the Transfiguration, the author of Hebrews tells us why. He takes the very best that they had to believe in, Moses. In their mind, no one was higher than Moses. And what he says is, you better focus on the most important, Jesus, and consider him, because he's a whole lot better than Moses. And he uses the word house, and the word house here isn't bricks and mortar. It's more like household, God's people. In other words, the movement of people. It isn't Moses that you better look to. For Moses is just one in the house of God, Hebrews says. He's like you and me. And if you doubt that, those of you who are reading through the scriptures, you see how human Moses was. He's just one in the house. Consider Jesus, because he's over the house. Moses might have been a mighty good builder, servant. But Jesus is the one that is the creator. He is the owner. And now let me just give a quick summary of the Transfiguration. We know the story. They're on a mountain. But I want to focus on the mountain they're on. They're on Mount Tabor, tradition would tell us. And it wasn't an extremely tall mountain. It was about 1,900 feet high. About 11 miles away from Galilee. But the unique thing about Mount Tabor, and if you want to go home and Google it, you can see this, there's nothing else around. It's not like mountains we see, where mountains are just sort of one of many. When you look at the terrain, all you see is flat land, and then rising out is this 1,900 feet mountain called Mount Tabor. And there are three individuals that see what we see in the Transfiguration that don't know as much as you do. Now, I'm encouraging you, for those of you who sometimes think, wouldn't it have been nice to be back in the Bible and actually walk with Jesus? I'm going to encourage you that you're in a better place than they are. You're after the resurrection. You're after the ascension. You're after Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit is now there. You have the resident Spirit teaching you. And poor old Peter, James, and John, they're just making the best they can. And they're here on this mountain, and they see this wonderful sight. And they remember stories they heard as little kids. Their mother and father would often see Mount Tabor and make reference to a couple other mountains. They talk about Mount Sinai, where Moses received the divine law, where Moses established this covenant for his people They heard those stories. They heard other stories as they would see Mount Tabor, of another mount, Mount Carmel, of Elijah. And Elijah showed that Yahweh and Yahweh's faith was above it all by bringing fire down, by killing 450 priests of Baal and others. They heard these stories, and now they're having to wrestle with something new. Consider Jesus. And they see Jesus in all his Shekinah glory. And they see this Moses, and they see this Elijah, and Peter, doing the best he could, makes a statement. This sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Let's make a temple. Let's make a tabernacle. Let's establish this. This is a red letter day. Let us never forget today. Let us make three tabernacles. And we're quickly told he was in error. He spoke incorrectly. And many sermons you've heard have probably focused on the more practical side of that. You've probably heard sermons or read commentaries that basically say Peter's problem is he wanted to stay on the mountaintop. And life isn't like that. You can't stay on the mountaintop. You eventually have to come down to the valley and get back into the muck and mire of life. They'll say, well, Peter's mistake is he wanted to encapsulate the high. And that's just not where life is. And there's some truth to all of that. But that's not the truth. See, Peter's mistake, but we have to cut him some slack because he doesn't know what we know. Peter's mistake was not in saying, let's make tabernacles. His mistake was saying, let's make three tabernacles. For there's only one to consider. There's only one to consider. And we consider him. Jesus will close the Sermon on the Mount, or at least a section of the Sermon on the Mount, where I'm going to close my sermon. Where he gives us a very simple way of life. Because life can be confusing. I have struggled, just to be personally, I've struggled over the last 2 or 3, 4 weeks because I'm a terrible multitasker. Any of you who know me, you know I can barely remember to walk at one time. I can't do multiple things. And I wear about 3 hats of some level of involvement. And I get really confused. It gets confusing. I don't like multitasking. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what to do next. Sometimes I don't know how to prioritize. Do any of you ever get confused with all the things in life that we have to do? Maybe your hats might be, well, I'm working. I've got parents I have to take care of. I've got grandchildren. I've got children. I've got this issue. I've got that issue. I've got this concern. And sometimes we just want to take a nap, don't we? Just take a nap. Isn't it nice to be able to just say, consider one thing. Consider Jesus. Ignore Moses, Elijah. Consider Jesus. That takes trust, doesn't it? Because when I'm focusing on Jesus, I'm letting a whole lot of other things slide, aren't I? But in the midst of a passage where Jesus tells us not to worry about anything, he concludes that section of not worrying by saying this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then we have this ironclad promise, and some of you know it, and all these things will be added unto you. Quite simple. Consider Jesus. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Creating and liberating God, you called your people into covenant with you and sealed your trust with Moses on the mountain. You called your people back to that covenant through your prophets and spoke in a still small voice to Elijah on a mountain. Then in your son Jesus, on a mountain you stood between the law and the prophets and revealed the radiance of your gospel. On Calvary's hill, your son redeemed us by the blood of your new covenant. And on the mountain in Galilee, he ascended to your right hand on high. And so we gladly thank you, celebrating your glory with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, dazzled by your face and singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Dazzling God, you set up your tent and made your dwelling among us. Abide with us now through the power of your Holy Spirit, that your people may become a temple of your presence, and that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Lord, who on that night in which he was betrayed, took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
Transfiguring God, it is good for us to be here. Through this holy sacrament, make us your sons and daughters, and be close to all children who have no one, to share your love and mercy with them. Make us your beloved, and visit all who have no one to call them beloved. Give us grace to listen to your voice, and bring to your heart any who have no one to listen to them. Surround us with your prophetic company, and take us up into the whirlwind of your glory, until the day comes when the waters of the Jordan are parted, and the heavens are opened, and the chariots bring us home to you, ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me make reference before the invitation to one other movie. One that's a paradigmatic one for me, early when I started pastoring. It's called Dead Poets Society. And there's a professor named Keating who has quite a wonderful flock of students. One in particular is a beautiful soul, but is totally intimidated by others, who's absolutely insecure, who is immobilized by the cares and thoughts of other people. He's unable to function because he's so caught up and racked up in his thinking about life and circumstances and what people might think. Keating gives a simple request that's a breeze to most people, a book report. And this student cannot do that. He's too confused, he's too intimidated, he's too overwhelmed with what others might think, the voices that surround him. And Keating is a good professor, and you may remember this scene, forces him as he goes up and he grabs the side of his face and he forces this student to look at no one else but him. And they start turning in a circle, and the photography reinforces what's happening, because as they are turning and they're only looking at one another, Keating is asking him questions and he's answering the questions because he's only focusing on Keating. And all the other students are a blur. And he becomes so articulate. We would say he found his voice. And he spoke his truth. And it was beautiful. Brothers and sisters, I want you to envision as you come forth to this table that scene. I want you to consider Jesus. Yes, you are served by those that are called by the church, either me or Jen or Al or others that offer it. But we're just mouthpieces speaking the very words of Christ. Consider Him. Make eye contact and hear the words. This is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood, which is shed in love for you. And the forgiveness of your sins. May the rest of your world be a blur as you focus only upon Him. This is His table. I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to come forth and to receive Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in the things of earth will fade away in the light of His glory. Come and receive the feast.
Thank you.
gracious Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son, exhibited and given to us in all his glory. As we go forth, may we go forth knowing that the very Spirit of Christ inhabits us. May we shine, not by generating light of our own, but by reflecting the light that we have received. And seeing that light, may they worship and glorify our Father, the source of all light. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Let us stand and close our time together singing Final Hymn. Upon you and give you peace both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.